when, I don't know if I got on, but I told you, this is the story where he got sick.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other guy was my daughter's driving instructor at the Franklin High School.
Mm-hmm.
And she adored him, and the whole kid,
wow.
All the kids did. He just such a...
Yeah, that
son says, irony, irony. You know, if one's irony, you see another lie.
Oh, Jeremy posted on my Facebook for my birthday, and I told him that you were coming in with him. Say hello.
Is it everything that you're not getting hands with?
No, I think I only...
Did you want to do any of that stuff before we talk today?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, you showed that to
okay.
me.
I don't remember where I left off. You have to forgive me. I'm a little bit forgetful.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, I'm a lot. About him, and I'm sure you'd also cross his heart and mine many times after that frightening moment. If Jimmy could have chosen what he would have liked to be remembered as, it has to be someone who loved and cared for others as Jesus did. And that's where you're welcome to see it. I just think that meant that to Francis Christ for me. Meant a lot. I was so glad that, and do you know that I actually got negativity from that too? The family of the Charlie Chaser that died on her, was angry.
Why?
That I had put something so hot. They blamed Jimmy for his death. It was a head-on collision. And never entered my mind that would happen. You know,
yeah,
so life is strange.
Yeah.
Let me see. Hold on. No, that was what made it a story, because I found him after he was dead. Yeah, so no, I hadn't, but I had never entered my mind that would offend. But he was a coal miner, Jimmy was, and a preacher. And the other one was a younger man, and a teacher. And Jimmy worked a night shift in the coal mine in South Korea. Did a head on and killed him and so, but and that was fresh to him too, you know. I mean, they were hurting terribly, but that was a strange thing to have happen. He'll probably find it. I hope so. You know, follow me in here to cap him. All right, I've got one. There's me at the coal market up at Sunday. When we were first getting it cleaned up and getting ready to go, you know.
Cool. So did you work up there?
I owned it.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, and it would get good for years. You know, my health just got so bad I couldn't do it anymore.
But it's still happening? Or?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
There was me and another guy, and he burned me out of the whole place. You know how things like that happen. But, yeah.
Wow.
That's just the beginning. It was a huge building. I spent like $15,000. Before I had the flea market, I went up to, there was a parking ride up above Clendenin.
Mm-hmm.
And every weekend, people would just come from all over and set up their flea markets, you know, little booths and stuff. And I used to go up there for, I just loved doing that stuff. while I was still physically able. That was just so fun.
I was talking to the host from the Inside Appalachia. Radio show with and I know one of the producers we need to do something about the roadside food market. So especially if you get down to the people are selling mailed objects, the family members, the fighters.
I know, I've been doing it for years. I've been disabled for years and I can't just live on what they I can't make it on what I'm what I get. So I would do things like that. I became very familiar. That's what even made me progress because I really started learning glassware and things like that. And I loved it. Oh, God. This right here is my grandmother's white. And this is, my understanding is she's a Cherokee Indian. She's 4 foot 11. That's one of her sons, but he favors my dad a lot. I have a family picture of my daddy, but that's her husband's attention. That's Ed White and poor Alan. But that was on their old home place up in Blue Creek. I don't have a lot of anything of real old pictures like this, but I treasure the ones I do have.
That was on your dad's side for that.
Yes. Right.
So the grandmother that you have the mother.
That's Jeremy.
Oh my God.
There he is.
Oh my God.
He used to be a little bit of a rounder. This is older than he had his
Wow. I don't think I've seen any of the photos of her.
I don't think, this has been after his stroke, and probably not too long before his stroke. The Zane.
Oh, yep. Zane. I know that guy.
Yeah. There he is again. Do you remember where this place was down on Washington Street?
Yeah.
About the 1500 block. I live up on the hill, but Charles Department Store.
Okay.
It's right in that region. And Zane felt, I think it's not crazy to this. He loved this place. He wanted a picture taken in front of it. Isn't that funny? You can see how old he is.
Yeah.
And he'd never been married and never had a child. And boy, I tell you what, that was just pure gold to him. He loved that boy. And by the way, oh my God, he loved his dad. Oh, really cute. But I thought you might get a quick note. That's my first cousin who recently passed away. She was like a sister to me, and this is her daughter. These are older ones. This is on the white side of the family. This is the white side. This is the good side, Chelsea Palmer.
I
wanted to see the candle picture most of them. Did you know that I'm going through my old stuff? I forgot to remember the woman I told you to play the piano? Dusty and I. She wanted to write my life story. I was very sick at the time. I've had a lot of illness in my life. Anyway, so she'd pay me a little bit every week, And she would have to open the door to me with it. It's still almost all in handwriting, but it's a manuscript of the material. Pretty much all my life.
Yeah.
Is that not something? And
Where is she?
She was in Oklahoma City the last I knew her. Her name is Jean Oldham. And see, I couldn't even think of Jean's last name, but I found that stuff, and I found a piece of music, if I can find it. I went to a lot, so I'm kind of lucky to even do this.
Yeah.
got to thinking about that song that Grandpa Jones and Ernest Tubb recorded, and I thought, I wrote those probably when I was 14. I lost a lot of things along the line because of Daddy dragging me around, you know, and my mother had gone into the mental institution when she died there in Huntington. And when my dad moved, he just put up and go. And whatever was here got left behind. It was just great. I couldn't even think of what I wrote songs or whatever I'd written, you know. So, I did lose a lot. There's no doubt in my mind, because I started writing songs when I was about 8 or 9. And the first one I wrote, I told Mom, I said, listen, Mom, and I started singing. She told me, you stop that. I couldn't understand. She didn't want anything to sweat down as it was doing. And I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
No, man, she didn't want to hear it. She said, I don't know anything. You know, that's not good. Boy, that was devastating. Yeah, I couldn't. And I think I was just probably a whole lot like my daddy as a child, because I was not a very good little kid. I was always understanding, but I wasn't supervised either.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God. Well, I wasn't there, but my family was. Part of my family was a white. It was Goldie, which was grandmother White's daughter and her husband, and then her daughter and her husband. There were 4 or 5 kids involved. I don't know how, but they did get out. But it was like, they told me that the water was lapping at the back of their heels as they went up the mountainside. And you know that the amount of people that died, that they were very fortunate. They were, I believe, in the mountains. I believe it was the 3rd day when they came out of the mountains from wherever they were. But, I saw it on the, I hadn't gone to Oklahoma by then. That was my first year, and I saw it on the news. And called back in. My dad and I actually lived there. On the other, we probably would have died, because I believe it's on the side of the little coal mine house.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody lived in it, we just bathed in it. And I believe that's the side of the water tank on the side that we lived on. Very much. I found this, and I've forgotten about this. This is Hillenbrow Registry.
Wow.
And it's April 21st, 1966, and she just wrote me a little, I don't know, a few pages. I thought this might be something like to have and copy or something,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, it would be. April 21st.
So was it just the weather?
Sort of, yeah. It was just her thoughts, and it was very sweet. Yeah, there's so much going on in, but they finally took me in, but I think this is where they took me in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just floating on the ocean, you know. See, they were beginning to get a picture of what was going on with my dad. And he would get very, very drunk and come up in front of Campbell's Farm and expose himself. And then tell him he'd kill me, and he'd kill them, and he'd burn them up, and he'd sweat. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's typical today in stalker.
Yeah.
It's typical. And I was so humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And so hurt. And I love those people, and I didn't want anything to happen to them, and it would be all my fault, you know. And I'll never forget Abel and her sister Mary. And Daddy had come up and done that in front of the window, and I felt like, I just wanted to die. And they got, And then they got up and they said, "We've seen better ones than that." I went, "Oh my God!" I couldn't believe it. Then you put it on, and I couldn't believe it. You know, they were making light of it. You know, and telling him, you know, Friday we'll whoop the street with you. You know, come bust the street up with you. And I went, "Oh my God!" I'd never been around that. Oh, two women, and they said, "Don't worry about it." And they were trying to comfort me, you know, and it did. It did. I think right then is when I knew. Yeah, I think I want to stay here. I do. They said, "Don't worry. We didn't hurt you, and sure ain't going to hurt us." I said, "Well, all right then." But I think she was, this would give you a little bit of insight into her and her thinking and stuff.
So
is
Anita
your... My middle name is Shirley Anita. If I had a choice, I'd say he's just a student. And, you know, he spent the majority of his life in prison. And he was a sexual freak. But he was mean too. He beat my mother just terribly. And she was mentally ill. And he took great full advantage of that. You know, he was always hurting her and stuff. And we were up some old hot. We always lived in an old empty house. We were up some holler. I can't remember where it was, but I think it was in Clay County somewhere. And Daddy had hit her with a hammer, actually. And then he'd taken off and gone up in the mountains. But he knew probably somebody called the cops or something. So I went out and I looked everywhere, and I was convinced he was gone. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Mom, please come in." She's like a child, kind of. So I thought, "I'm going to try to get out of this little hole and get her somewhere." And we just got out the door maybe 10 steps, and he came screaming down off that hillside. And he had an old butcher knife in his hand, you know, and he knocked me down and put it right in me. He straddled my chest and put it right in my throat beside him. And I was probably 11. And it didn't really, if you could look into the eyes of someone like that, there's nothing quite like it. But that book I was telling about, I was just glancing through some of it, you know. I had brought back memories I'd sort of let go of, because we really went in depth to try to make this thing real, you know. And it made me remember things like that. You know, it kind of put way back. You might have to do that to me. Mine had time, but not so good. Okay. I was raised Methodist, and I don't think anybody didn't go to church when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. It just was the main community action. Everybody got together. So I went to church every Wednesday and Sunday as a child. It was just a part of life. Mm-hmm. And it always stayed a part of me, and I think I needed it even worse because of what was going on with me. And Daddy hated that. Oh my God, he hated that. He was coming to church one night, drunk, and he'd sit there and spit on the floor and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So anything to humiliate me and out of the church. And it worked, generally. This was back before that. I was just a candle, so I didn't have any support. And I didn't want people to go through that. But yeah, the church is religion, Jesus, I guess, was primarily a huge part of my life and my life right now. And I don't go to church and things, but I'm really a spiritual person. Yeah, I think it's probably saved my life many times.
Yeah.
Saved my mind. Right, that's right. It began as organized religion, and I got very interested in every kind of religion, and I'd look into them and go, no, that's not fair. It's not fair. You know, I'd know when it was and when it wasn't, and then, of course, you go through the rebellion stage, too. You know, you feel like God let all this happen to you, know, so I'm going to go over to the dark side, and, you know, Ouija boards and stuff like that. Well, that wasn't fun. That brought on its own new set of problems. I don't fool with those anymore, does I? I like to watch the ghost hunters. They can have it. But more than anything, I really wanted to, as I aged, I didn't. Because I watched some of the people going through the park, you know, at the time. And they, they were heavily addicted to something. And I thought, well, I thought it was bringing me great joy. I don't think it does. And as I aged, I thought, I don't think it does, but it would bring me great joy. Just to hear my music perform, which is a gratification, you know. I wanted to when I was young, but I don't think it's a big drama. I just wanted to create more children to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
I actually played with a little band and where was I? And they gave you free drinks. And I'd lose and lost any. I drank some drinks and I couldn't remember.
Right.
Oh, I had a bad experience with. What was that one? I can't think of the name of it now, but boy, it was like one of those that just lots of words to it, you know, and I just went, oh, look. Yeah, it is. I wasn't good at stopping. I never would. I think I kind of got that from Daddy. Pre-20s and early 20s is when you still think of, this is it, this is it, I've made it. I think there's frequently a lot of tragedy in terms of music singers' lives. For me, I was just looking for joy. Just any form of joy or any form of something to say, you're okay, you're valuable, you did good, look, you know, you needed something. And I think that happens to a lot of these country performers. And then it just beats them to death. Then everything they have left in there is being given to the audience now, and they just don't have anything in there. That's hard.
Thank you.
think that not too many people can do that, have that kind of foresight. I don't think. I do think so, especially not when I got to thinking of this past week as a one person. Wow, I would love to look back on them now. I'd love to. And did you find the troubles in a bottle? Do you remember that?
I don't remember you talking about it. I didn't find it.
Okay, so not in there. I'm really hoping not.
It's a lot too strong.
Right.
Oh, you know, this is only for,
Yeah, this is the other
okay.
one.
Okay.
I don't remember what number. That song probably is, you know, one of your standouts in your mind. Maybe not as far as talent goes, but emotion. And we Betty, again, we were in an old abandoned farmhouse. It was in Kenwick Mountain. And this farmer let us stay there. He had cows, and he didn't have hay in that place, you know. And at that time, it was the last place my mother lived with us.
Mm.
And she was just like a little imbecile child by then. She really would wander off, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pick for her, and she'd say, "I'm not even there. I saw you pick the food, you know."
Yeah.
And I was still a child. And I couldn't imagine why my mother would insist that I put in her food. It hurts me now to think about it. You know? But that's where we were. And Daddy, I had a little cot by a window, and the window came open, and then I got inside the house. That wind whipped up there in Kenwick Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the winter. And Daddy gotten through this. Using me, you know, and it's dark, and there's a little shelf over in the corner, and I looked at him some old time medicine bottles
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and I think I told you I wish I could put my troubles in that bottle and just see what, and then that from there, that's the song developed. For some, and that was a very bleak moment in my childhood, very bleak, and the song doesn't really depress me or anything, but it was very meaningful. Yeah, somewhere in that room. It would have been in that grouping probably. I think my version was probably about eight. It was crazy for rock and roll music too when I was. It was true rock and roll, you know, and it wasn't so much the. And the words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was awesome. I think that actually kind of that bluesy rock and roll type stuff was first inspired me to begin writing. But yeah, that kind of stuff. Well, country has become what rock and roll was then, you know, and country then was really pretty much just bluegrass. And I liked it, but it didn't move me so much like rock and roll did. I figured surely somewhere I've got.
And do you think you probably just remembered that? You wrote it kind of just like.
I can remember. It goes, I have troubles I don't tell, but I guess. more to it. I can remember that, though.
I can see it, you know, you're a little bit older.
You know, I hear that. People tell me that. And I'm thinking, I don't think it's their influence as much as it is. We just always said, boy, you're so sure. They always thought I was a kid. Always.
Maybe. Yeah, because you read that story.
Oh, way before, yeah. Yeah, I was probably 15, 14, something like that. Mm-hmm. My time with my daddy was short. He felt like 10 years. I look back and I think, he's actually only a year apart, but it felt like, he came home, I think I was 11 by the time he came home. But yeah, I was, because I'd already started writing music and something like, and I learned to play the guitar. Somebody bought me one of those little toy ones, you know. But he probably came home when I was around 11. And I was away from him by the time I was 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
But honey, I can't hardly even tell you that in belief.
Yeah.
I just can't. What I went through with him, and, you know, he hitchhiked all over the Eastern Seaboard and stuff. And he knew somebody everywhere he went, and he would reload off of them literally until they threw him out. And I'm just stuck there with him. Right. And I'd already had so much. I thought he was going to be my soldier. And you know how a kid idolizes the missing parent. And that's what I thought he was. I thought he was, you know, they were just being a typical child thought. And someday he'll come home and he'll save me from this. And, oh my God, I was so happy when he came back, I thought. And my grandmother Garrett was still alive, but she was in a dying process. So she was bed fast and stuff. And she had been gone blind. And she said, Jack, have you turned your life around? Oh, yes. Oh, what a fine man he was. And he said, she was so worried about me, you know. And he said, I'm going to take care of her now. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of her. She said, oh, Jack, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. But she died with that thought, and I'm so glad. She believed he turned around and was going to love and care for me. Couldn't have died with a greater delusion, but,
right. And so you just keep songs in your head?
Mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I wrote them down. I almost always wrote them down. But they would come to me, the whole song would come to me, and then when I had a chance to have faith in something, I'd put them down. And but then when Daddy go, it would be like, it could be in the middle of the night or anything. I don't know if he was doing criminal. I don't know what made things like that happen. But he'd just come in and say, we're gone. Let's go. And I can remember one time, it was that time when he put the knife in my throat. And that was same living there in that same place. And I had a little box I'd been keeping my papers on. And I said, Daddy, please let me take my news. For years, I wish I could go back and get. I wanted to go back because it was kind of everything I had up until he came back. You know, because I managed to keep it that long, but then all the previous years had gone when it was back. I tried so hard to remember him, but I just couldn't.
Yeah.
As the years went by, I just couldn't anymore. Yeah, it wouldn't mean anything to anybody else. But that's the last thing. I think it was kind of cute, probably kiddish, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple of songs in here that Daddy and I wrote together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought of that thing. I do have a couple that we wrote together. And we wrote songs and there's it's a shame because I think he could have been somebody.
Yeah.
But can't remember the names of them right now. But when I come across them, I'll tell you. I'll be sure I'm not going to know. What else do you want to do? A checker?
Oh,
Then one day you found another, and suddenly there was no one left but me. Now that I'm blue because I still love you. This that would be Daddy. He would write like that. I'm blue,
okay.
And I'll try and blame you, my darling. I guess that was what was meant to be. I guess what was meant to be will be. I know that I will never love another, for now there is no one left but me. There you go. Sounds like his name.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. I didn't even notice that. But Daddy usually wrote the tunes to his song. I couldn't work with his tunes. Different. We had different chords.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that would be like a duet?
I don't think, no. We just wrote it together. More the words together than the, and then I would think, hey, this line that goes get there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an, I'd like to find that other one that Daddy wrote the poster. Did you look up the, by any chance, did you try to find the last song on the set?
I don't think I did. So, but you said it was the last one, like the last.
I know it was.
Okay.
That song is the last one. We never even heard of him hardly ever.
Mm.
And awesome. And her boy said he got in. That's what he did. That's what he did. Because he just kind of, you know, flash of a pan.
Mm. I'll
flip it up. All right. I'd love for you
to
do that.
Yeah.
I think I'd recognize it if I could see it again, but it's just gone in my mind. It's gone.
Well, I did, yeah. I found that one in my mind. My darling. That one was good.
Yeah, it was that. Now, that was Grandpa Jones's last hit.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't know. I don't think surely it wouldn't be forever. I do want you to look at
that. Yeah,
did you save it somewhere or something?
I just did a search, but I did find a YouTube and it was like, you know, we just have to do it in the record. And I think it said, it was on this spot. And I thought it said F.
I can't imagine.
I don't know.
Because he came to visit Dad at that time. And
then also, he should have been in the
yeah, I doubt that it's probably the last 25 years he made this book.
Yeah,
but right. You know, in my youth, I was into a little dab of everything. Whatever. We just got a sample thing to figure out what's that thing. I wish I could find it. I thought maybe I might have put it in the wrong place or something. And I wanted to find that one I think I told you I wrote Nothing City, the Rose. I just spent some time in on the shelf, you know, and made friends with the other. Is she
the
name?
Yeah.
Rose,
yeah.
Yeah, me and Lady Rose. Oh yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Oh, that was awful good. Yeah, see, I wanted you to read that.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good one.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good.
Do you
want to
read it?
Yeah, I'd love to. No one shares our loneliness. No one really knows when Southwest 4th and Northwest 8th are me and Lady Rose. I upon the south side writing poetry, she upon the north side with dreams of things to do. I with life and youth and health, while old and gray is she. Still we share a common bond, my lonely Rose and me. I drank with her from bitter cups that comes from poverty, and in the darkness we would walk the streets, just Rose and me. I slowly struggled with the plight that lay in front of me, but Rose, she only rocked and popped at things I couldn't see. I knew that we must go our way, that someday soon we'd part, and Northwest 8th would ever become a little of my heart. For Rose was old, and with her age it barred from her mind. So what was there played games and left reality behind. Yes, here in January's wood, one flower dies, one grows, a fresh young tender buttercup and old and withered rose. I think that's,
yeah.
I really like it. Yeah, but that's where I met her, was in the Salvation Army in Oklahoma City, and she was like that. And I loved her. I just loved her. And she had nowhere to go, and I was able to get a little apartment, you know, where I moved her in. She just, well, we're going to go get your son, and then I'll take care of him for you. And I was just, we were just going to do everything. And she really cheered up my life. And then she'd get mad if I went out at night. She said, you'd be up right away. Where have you been? You know you've got to get back here to this house.
How old are you?
Oh, was she 20? Yeah, about 22. Yeah, and she was probably 76. That's a great story. But I loved her. I did.
So I think you would call home and then I saw you and then I remember you telling
the story
about
her. Right. Well, this one, you going to take this one this time then?
Yeah, so I'll take that one.
Okay. You want this stuff, right?
Yeah,
I think it'd be good if you had this copy of Jeremy's ever been in that. Get a kick out of that, I think.
Yeah, is it okay if I
can read
that?
Yes,
yes,
yes, of course.
Okay, so
I'll read that. Or did I have it? See, that's the one I was telling you. That's the song that I was telling you that I always really did with somebody would, you know, that it's the Christian song. I said,
right,
I'd love to hear formed in church. I cannot even sing that one. By the time I started seriously wishing I could be a writer, it always took 2 years to read something. Didn't want to copy any of these pictures or not.
Oh, I would love to.
Oh, okay. No, I don't mind. It's just, is it just as easy to copy and write out as a thing like this, or would you like me to take out the ones
you
need?
Well, you can leave them in there and then.
Yeah. slip that one. You'll know what you want, right?
Well, that one says it's like.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to see what it says.
The same, but that's blue that he didn't sing. Like, he'd sing it like I would sing my song. But by far, yeah. You know, I've never heard this before. Not by him. Her daddy sang it. I like it a lot better than what he did with mine. A lot better. It sounds pretty good. Dancing. I think it's great.
You ever go to the I'm
just so disabled. I can't just hardly do anything. I feel very fortunate to stay home. I wish my daughter could hear that. I just don't think there's any chance in the world. But see, Dad, I told you about Dad's name. His dad always swore his name was Jack Big.
Right.
But his name was Beverly Jack. I said, what makes grandma name Beverly? And he said, the oldest daughter of the family, his oldest sister, married a Beverly Jack. And they named him after, named Daddy after him.
Okay.
But I guess at one time, I guess Beverly was a male name like Shirley. Sounds more male than Beverly or Shirley, though, I think. When I first found out Shirley was originally a male name, I was just dumbfounded.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, my God. And then Daddy, I said, well, what? And he, somehow he said he convinced Mom to name his aunt a girlfriend of his.
Yeah.
Isn't that dirty? It's dirty. And then I found out I'm supposed to have a sister. She sent me up, and I found the person and this, and they said, come back 6 o'clock and we'll talk to you. And I went back to, and that whole place was locked down. They had drawn their shutters, and I'm not. I said, this guy saw me come back. And this woman, Miss Lizzie said, look, just don't ever come back. Go away and don't ever come back. People just weird me out, you know? I don't get it. What in the world is the big deal happening, you know? But maybe she doesn't know. That's what I got to think, and maybe they lied to her throughout her. Right, well, that's one of them. That's probably her mother and Mary, and she's probably reached out to her dad and don't know any different. I thought, oh my God. Right. Well, I feel was disappointed. Always felt that I just think I'd be a blithering idiot if I hadn't got him giving me this talent. And it seems like that he didn't just give me the talent, but he gave me insight and so many things. And so I don't really sometimes know how I got through. So many things have happened in me that some people don't recover from one of those things. But kind of just right people at the right time in my life. And then again, my faith. I leaned on that heavily. You can literally sit back and play it and watch the whole thing happen again, or and you don't necessarily feel the attachment to it. You're trying to study how this thing develops, how it happened, how to play out like this, and let's don't do that again, or whatever. You know, let's don't let that happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and there's a part of the mind, I think, the same part of the mind is stimulated by the writing and the poetry, that also has that some little special thing going there that helps them understand things in a different way. Than I don't want to sound like, oh, gee, I'm very so much better. I'm not trying to do that. It's just that we see things in it with a different eye.
Yeah.
Does me too. Yeah, I don't do it too much anymore, but I used to. Yes, it really used to.
Yeah.
I would be set. If this is how I feel, put it down on paper and go, I don't think I do feel like that. I mean, I really don't. That doesn't look right at all. I don't think this is going to work out.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And then sometimes I just insist that it go ahead and make sense because it's what I want to do. So we're all guilty of that, aren't we?
Yeah.
When you write, what do you write? Do you write just in general or poetry? Or?
Well, I've always talked
to you. Oh, that's so important. See, I did too as a young person. Yeah.
But, yeah, I
mean,
I'm
really
trying to.
Now I'm not going to do it. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I always remember our little discussion where you said, I love that. I love that because there was a brightness in your eyes and in your voice at that time of genuine. There was no doubt about it that you loved what you were doing. And what's better than that? Nothing is better than that. Very, you know, a lot of people get ever find that. Just exist, you know, or went wrong. Oh, no. I'm in bad shape if that was true. I would would have loved that. I mean, I would have loved certainly a little more than what I got. Yeah. Feeding my cats right now is the hardest job I have. I've always been a big time animal lover. Big time. I'd have to get it on my album. My house is all my walls are full of animal pictures. Oh, that's something I was going to do. I've always dabbled in a little bit of everything. And I dabbled in photography and stuff a little bit. But I did have this one picture that I love a lot. And I was going to bring it to you, but I took, I've done a little bit of everything. I'm not kidding. Looking back, I've groomed for years and years and years. And when you groom, you get an extension of animal, and so I bred standard poodles for a little bit, not very long, just a little bit. And that came by somebody bringing me one that was almost dead, and I nursed it back to health and learned to love them, But I've got a picture of three standard poodles standing together, and they're at my friend's house, and two of them are mine and one of them's hers. And they're looking out the plate glass door, and squirrels on them, too. And it's just a good picture. I love it. I'll have to remember to bring that and show it to you. Yeah, you can photocopy that picture and put it in here. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a no-kill, right?
Well, there was, I guess, putting the body
oh, man. Oh, she's great. Oh, my God, she's great. I love her. Will you send me a picture of her online, Matthew? Oh, I want somebody to see her. What'd you name her? Oh,
she's like a little rat.
I've got one of these, only my, it's exactly like that except for the face isn't. Yeah, it's a little torty. And, I just could eat her. She's just beautiful.
She's got a lot of personality.
Oh, I bet.
She is that face because it will be one thing.
To be it, yeah.
Totally naughty, running around the house, so having a
little rat. This torty's the same one. It's this little torty. Oh, I just love it. I named mine Mildew. I went into the vets with her to have her fixed. And they said, what's her name? I said, and there was a girl standing over here talking to her mother, an adult lady. She said, what'd you say? I said, Mildew. And she said, oh, I'd have never thought of that. Well, it is. I call her Mildy, or Mildred, but her name is Mildy, and she actually looks like a little old Mildred cow, something you threw back in the corner when you went swimming. But she, her little thing, she's actually an ex-door cat. Uh-huh. But he got locked up in jail for 10 months, and there she was. And, of course, I'm not one of those. I took good care. She got knocked up, and she had babies on me. And so now I've got, one of the babies lined up feral, the other one's in one of my bathrooms because I hadn't fed. But, that's how this has, stuff like this happens to me. It's not that I go out and hunt cats or anything. But, but she's got that same person, just a little devil. And she'd be so sweet and go, stop it, I'm tired of it. Oh, I know exactly what, I see it in her face. I see it. That's I think that's one of the most beautiful cats I've ever seen. Your poster and stuff.
Yeah.
You can put her out there where cat lovers can see her.
I do
like that. That's on Facebook or something.
Yeah,
you put her on Facebook. People need to be able to see that. I'm serious. It's just great.
This is a 15-minute video, but it's her in 3 seconds.
Okay. Do you love her as much as you
oh,
look
yeah.
like you do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She, I really consider her because she is like, up in the air, and she's like,
actually,
counting.
Then just. Like, listen, the longer you take animals seriously and pay attention, the smarter you'll find out they are. I just can't believe that human beings are so stupid. That they, I mean, that they think that little things don't have feelings, it's just a cat, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Well,
if you had a bird or what, you know, you begin to go, look at the behavior, and they move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something recently, scientists said that they discovered that they're pretty sure dogs have emotions similar to him. Oh, these brilliant scientists, I'm so thankful for them. You know, isn't that awful?
Right.
Oh, my God. My dog just, kiss me around his finger. He'll fuss at me, and he'll tell me, and I have three dogs. I have my daughter's. I'm keeping my daughter's pet, but I also have two mixed dogs, you know. But they don't pumpkin dogs, really. But the one is just, he won my heart, you know. And he just basically tells me when and where to go. And I love it. I love it. And there's a, every night there's time to treat.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets, he'll look at me. It's about 7:30 to 8 o'clock. Until I say, what? Then it's on, you know. But he'll keep going. I'll go. And if I just look like I'm here. Oh, I love it. I just love it. I say, what? And he goes, I want one. That's why I taught him. I want one. They bring joy to my life, Emily. I don't think anything else could like they do. Oh, I love your cat. I just love her. I want Carly to send me that little video and send me that and a picture. Yeah, I want Carly to see her. My did I tell you my daughter's my cat? Yeah, she's a little cat. Well, she's great. You know, I thought all my life as a child, my youth, and all the hell I went through. Then I had children. What was I thinking? Oh, what'd you say? Yeah. You don't know, and you still can't let yourself. There's certain things I think I would probably have myself sterilized if I thought I was going to pass down, but mental illness and none of them are, you know. But no, I think Jeremy and Carly both had addiction problems and stuff, you know. And I think I swear right now that I had to fight addiction, and I'm on a lot of strong pain medications now, but I don't have any problems. I don't want to get loaded. I just want to try to have some relief. I live in such pain every day. That's why I can't. I have multiple diagnoses, and the worst one is I have my back. It's a degenerative disc disease. Nobody except they've been there today would possibly know. And that person dealing with terrible pain like that a lot of times, you just don't want to go another day. You just don't. But my animals, the difference. See, I look at them and I think, no, nobody depends on me for them.
Yeah.
If they do, and what would they do? So, I speak to them. And they make me laugh, too. They really make me laugh. Yeah, there's no doubt that people with animals would live much longer than people. If I was sitting up there in my condition, I can't even imagine my mental health, you know, without the animals. That's a special little cat, though. Really, it is. That's a special little cat. That is a cute cat. Who turned you on to it? You just happened to go out there and there it was?
Well, I was looking online at some of the photos that helped me in the area. So,
you tell me that, and I think we're
going
to. What, they weren't 42, were they? I had this one that I told you that I care for now. I took her and had her stayed while he was gone after the babies were weaned, you know, and her got her shots and stuff. And she don't want nothing to do with him at all. He said, "Well, you better be over there and over here." I said, "Yes, I wonder why, you know."
Yeah.
He throws her a neck bone.